size.
That's nice.
Look at how big the writing is.
You can see it from here.
You can see it here from here.
My goodness. So, I think we might want to look at how many people would like to have this style of veil dress? Just a few? You like the little ones better? Would everybody be okay if we ended up going to this?
Yes.
Because, boy, you can really...
Us older folks, we can see that. Okay. You know, we were singing about heaven there, a couple songs about heaven. That's going to be a nice place to hang out, isn't it? And I'm going to start off the message talking about hanging out. And, you know, when you were younger, probably, you probably had some place that you had as a hangout. You know? And what is a hangout? What's that?
A get-together.
Where people get together, and it's where people frequently go to. That's their hangout. They go there a lot. And I remember before getting married to Kathy, you know, I hung out with this one fellow teacher at Gorham High School, and I'd go over to his place a lot, and that was kind of like my hangout. Sometimes it's not an actual place; it's wherever your good buddy is. And it doesn't matter where that place is, you're with the person or people that you like to hang out with. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Sometimes with hangouts, they'll change. I was with my buddy until I met Kathy. And then my hangout changed. You know? Things happen. And you start to become more connected and in love with something else or somebody else. And so hangouts can change. And I'm going to use this concept of a hangout. Heaven's going to be a good hangout. Isn't it? I want to read to you.
And this is going to connect with things that John has talked about in the last couple weeks. I just want to say, you know, I'm sure everybody realizes that he had two really fantastic messages in a row on truth. And I'm really going to be talking about truth again from a different angle. And a lot of what I'm going to say are things that, if I remember, John said. So it's going to kind of reinforcement of what he said. And there's some things that I've said in the past about truth that's going to come out again. And I think it'll be just timely how that is. So, if you would go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And we're going to look at two verses, 31 and 32.
It says this. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." So I just want to look at, analyze this particular two verses first. Notice that he's talking to Jews that believe on him. They believe that he is the Messiah. They believe that his blood was going to pay the price for their sins. So these are believers he's talking to. And he says, if. Oh, it says if, doesn't it? If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. So there's an if there, which means that it's possible that believers don't continue in his word. That we do end up not abiding or continuing in the words that Jesus would speak to us. And that word to continue means to abide, to dwell there, to stay there, to remain in his word. Now this truth and his word is not just talking about doctrine, but this is talking about life itself, the truth about life, the truth about who he is and who you are, and coming to the truth about things that need to be let go of. Yeah? Truth about what is happening in the world. What is going on? We sing songs about the second coming, and we can very easily throw that off. And I think all of us are excited about the time when Jesus is going to come back, and we're going to see him face to face, and we're to wait on that, and we're to be expectant about that. And in saying all of that, I want to say that what do we do in the meantime? Right? We can know in truth that Jesus has come. But Jesus wants to interact with us right now. It isn't something we have to wait for in order to have a relationship with the very God that we worship every Sunday, that we could have something deeper and more abiding, and where we're really dwelling and appreciating. There were some words that were said in some of the songs. Talking about how we long for the King. Do we? You know, is it just an afterthought? This gets engendered. This whole thing of truth and reaching out for what is true and seeking after that is so important for us to be able to get the impact of who Jesus really is. So, and we know that if we continue in his word, if we live there and living in the Bible, but also in a prayer life, you know, a real prayer life that expands. Many people, myself included, I think sometimes we think, well, I don't have time to do all these things, all these quote spiritual things. And God is in, wants to be in everything about who we are. Don't you think?
Yes.
Everything. Whether it's in the work we're doing, or whether it's in our relationship with our family or friends or the church and the ministry that's there. Sometimes we think that spiritual things only have to deal with what's going on in church. And that's absolutely not true. Everything about you, God is interested in. The other morning, there was a number of us that were at breakfast, and Steve had asked Michelle at the depot about seeing if she had some pictures of her son, because one of my doing something here that I shouldn't do?
No, you're good.
Okay. So one of the people, one of the veterans, was going to be Michelle's son. So Michelle went and got her phone and started showing Steve some of the pictures of her son in uniform and so on. And I watched Michelle's eyes while she was showing the pictures. And the if love could have had a shape, it would have fallen out of her eyes. Her love for her son was in her eyes. And if any of you would have been looking at her at that moment, you would have come up with the same thing. Wow, she loves her son. And what hit me was the fact that this is how God loves us. Now, we know the truth of that. We know that we can read a scripture or many scriptures that talk about how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, right? We can have a kind of a knowing. But God wants us dwelling in such a place so that it really is much more living inside of us, that we see these little foreshadowing of how much God does love us. Huh? And that only happens when we invest in dwelling in God's Word, in His truth. Do you understand that? Yes?
Yes.
So, part of the message today is, going off what John was saying, was truth is not just something that's in the Bible. It is. But truth, we should be people that are growing in the truth about everything that's in life, because God is looking at us in every aspect of life. Don't you think? Wow. I hope that grabs a hold of you and like it grabbed a hold of me.
You know, part of the thing about hangouts is usually we end up hanging around people that are like-minded, right? You hang out with people that you can relate to, people that have similar ideas about things. We don't usually hang out too long. You really want to call it a hanging around somebody. We hang around with people maybe for short periods of time, but on a frequent basis, we tend to hang out with people that there's more of a kinship somehow with. Isn't that true? The scripture says, in terms of hanging out, the scripture says that if you're hanging out with criminals, what's going to happen to you? If you're hanging out with liars, what ends up happening to you? In any of those cases, who you are around is going to affect the way you think and act. Right?
Yes.
And so hanging out with the right kind of people is really important. That doesn't mean that you don't reach out to other people, but we need to have that aspect where I think John mentioned it last week. There's something from the world that's pushing against the truth of God.
Yes.
And if you're hanging around in the things of this world, you're going to be open to those lies. Much more, right? Much more than if you were separated enough from it that you recognize it.
You know, when you step back from a situation, and you're not wrapped up, and you're not wrapped up into the lies of it, into the bombardment of your mind of the lies that come from the enemy, from the system of this world. It's much easier to recognize after you've pulled away from it, isn't it? You know, you're going out with some girl and you're with her all the time, and this, I'm not talking about Kathy here. She says all these things, and she has a particular attitude, and because you're around and you think you like her, and you kind of open up to what she's saying. Yeah, you put it into your own aspect, but you get away from the person, and you go, oh wow, why did I put up with that? What did she say? What did she do that made me be open to that idea? Right? Well, maybe that hasn't happened to you, but it's happened to me, and you know, our connections and who we hang around with and how much we open up our hearts, not only to people. I think more so I want to talk about opening up to ideas. I think John went into a good detail on this last week and the week before, so I'm not going to emphasize that so much, but that is a very important thing, that you hang around, you hear things on TV, you hear it often enough and long enough. Even if you think something's wrong with it, it starts playing around in the back of your head, doesn't it? And we're talking about things that would set us up to be open to something that's eventually going to be ungodly, right? We open up ourselves to thinking, well, that's okay to think like that. People can come up with all kinds of quote reasonable things about abortion, for one thing, and we can be open to that, right?
Right.
And we have to be very careful about what we do allow getting into our minds, because it is there where all the opposite of truth is lies, and there's plenty of that going on today. What goes on out there, you can know that there's things that are happening in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of our minds, where the enemy is working overtime in your mind, in my mind, to try to dissuade us from moving more strongly in Christ, to believe in a greater way for who He is and what He's going to do, and that He is coming back, and that He does love us beyond anything that we can ask or think. And you know, it took that look of Michelle showing Steve that, and boom, the whole concept of God's love for us just came flowing through. But if my mind, the more I am disconnected with God through the week, it makes it harder for me to be able to recognize those things. The same thing with you. And we were singing about, we long for the King and all of that. There's something right now that we can experience about the truth of who He is. There's a song by Paul Wilbur. Let the weight of your glory fall. And there's three verses in the refrain of that. You know, let the weight of your glory fall. River, something about the river of life flowing. And then it says, and let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. And this whole truth thing is more than just what we read in the Word. It is that. But it is so much more
for us, and I'm hoping that you get the you're going to get the spirit of this. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13. We're going to look at something here. Proverbs 13. This goes along with what I was just recently saying about. You know, who you hang around with. And not only is it who you hang around with, but it's what you allow to hang around in your mind. Yeah? Do we allow that fear to hang around in our mind? Right? That doubt, that unbelief. It hangs around. The enemy's always looking for a hangout in our mind. Always. Now look what it says here. Now this is on a more material kind of thing, but this does say what I feel the Lord wants us to grab hold of too. This is Proverbs 13, verse 20. He that walks with wise men, what's it say? Will be wise. Oh, the kind of people you hang around with kind of have an influence on you? Oh, you better believe it. Get around a very negative person. And before long, unless you're really strong, you get inundated with that. Kathy and I have talked about when we were teachers back in the late 60s, early 70s, we would go into the teacher's room. And it was so negative about the kids. And I couldn't stand that. Could not stand it. I got to the point, Kathy and I were at different schools, so we found out that it was happening in her school as well as in my school. Same kind of idea. I stopped going to the teacher's room when I had a break. I just stayed up in my room, or I went over and talked with somebody else that was sick of that too. But who you're around really can affect you. And if you're not careful, you get caught up in it. I remember one time I got caught up in a conversation, and afterwards, I'm like, what am I doing? I opened myself right up to this negativity, and I was not going to have that. And I think this is important for us. Do you guys, I mean, in the places where you work, do you find that you can be really influenced by the attitudes of the people that you work around? Sure. And it says here that if you walk with wise men, if you hang around with wise men, you're going to end up being wise. But if you're a companion of fools, you'll be destroyed. Nobody in here wants to consider themselves foolish. But you know, if you hang around with fools, you're going to adopt some of their attitudes and some of the ways that they think, because they're going to speak certain things. And if you allow yourself to open up to those things, then it starts to work on your mind. And it's something that brings you and I down if we're not careful. And so truth needs to prevail in this case, doesn't it? We need to understand that part of truth is who are you hanging around with? And what thoughts are hanging around in your head? Isn't that right? Now, what are you going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? I pray to God that we are all going to be aware this week of the enemy's devices trying to put lies and fears and anything else that he could use to devour us, to destroy us, to rob from us the joy of our salvation, whatever it might be. He's
does this all the time, doesn't he? And then over the years, we develop an openness to, oh, I'm just nobody. Right? Oh, I don't have anything to give. And then, you know what happens? Your spirit starts shriveling up. And that's not right, is it? So, when you listen to things, and over the years, it does, it starts to become a truth to us, even though it's not God's truth. Amen? You understand?
Okay. I'm not going to have you turn to it, but I'm going to just mention John chapter 6. There are people that were following Jesus, and he started saying some things that they were uncomfortable with, and so they stopped following him. And Jesus, at this point, it's John 6, like 68, verse 68, 69, so Jesus asks Peter, are you planning on leaving too? Something like that. I don't know. Do you have it? Then Jesus said to them, will you also go away? Okay. And then verse 68, Peter gives a reply. He goes, where else can we go to? You hold the words of eternal life. Is that what it is? And Lord, whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Every single person in this room, I think, knows the truth of that. God has the words of eternal life. Not only for what's going to happen and what things are going to be like after we get to heaven, after he does come back, but what about right now? In any area of yours and my life, he has truth to give us. It is not just spiritual truth. It's not just about morality. It's about anything about life. Anything. You know, I'm totally astounded by this fact. There are 500 scriptures that talk about faith in the Bible. There's about 500 that talk about prayer. Do you know how many scriptures deal with money and possessions? That doesn't sound too strong. We don't want to talk about that. That's unspiritual. No, it's found in the Bible. And God's very interested in the way that we look at money, how we handle things. Are we being good stewards? All of this is right. You know, there's 2,300 scriptures about money and possessions, because God knows that this quote unspiritual thing that's in the world affects us spiritually. We can't separate it out and say, well, that's not very spiritual. No, it is very spiritual. Everything about this life has some kind of connection with the realm of the spirit and our spiritual character. But we can't just go off into a box and separate spirituality with all the other things we have to do in this life. God wants to be involved in all of that, and he has a great and wonderful truth to give us on how to deal in any area of life, doesn't he? So we want to see this in the right context. So would you go to, let's see, let's go to John chapter 16. Staying in John quite a bit here. John chapter 16. Yes.
Just a second.
Oh, absolutely.
I had someone that listened to the message last week or two. They sent me a text to Francis Chan. And probably all of you have seen him talking
before.
But he was like a mega pastor, and he sort of gave up on all that.
Yes.
To do like home churches and stuff because he thought that it wasn't, you know, it's biblical to have a superstar type of thing.
Right.
He's now decided to go overseas and be a missionary. But the neat thing was, is he generally had given up most of his speaking engagements, but he kept speaking at, I'm going to mispronounce the name, but Azusa Pacific?
Azusa.
Yeah, ABU, it's a Christian college.
Yeah.
And so he continued to do it, so he's been doing it for 20 years. It was basically, it was his last message, because he's leaving to go overseas. But he lays it on them pretty intense. He's like, you know, he's like, I don't want to be a downer or whatever, but even here, he goes, it's different.
Yeah.
20 years ago, people were aching for the word. They were on fire. They wanted to hear truth.
Yes.
And he goes, and now people's opinions and thoughts have been elevated. He goes, whether it's in this faculty and staff, whether it's the students, he goes, it's just at the point where, you know, your own opinions.
Yeah.
And this is where I was getting back to, where he said, be careful who you hang around with. He's like, look, if you try hard enough, you're going to find a pastor or somebody that's going to tell you what you want to hear.
Yeah.
And he goes, but that's not what you want to hear.
Yeah.
He's like, if there's not anything in the Bible that's making you uncomfortable, making you angry that you have to believe it, he goes, then you're not reading it right.
Yeah.
You know, it should be, he's like, it should be challenging.
Yeah.
So he's like, and that's what truth is.
Here is a truth that isn't usually said, but, and this goes along with what you just said, John. Christianity, real Christianity, is not the church building. It's not how many people you can draw in. It isn't. If you look at American Christianity and gauge it by what you see on TV, you have a lot of spiritual hucksters on TV. They're out there for yours and my money. They're hucksters. They put on this particular air about them. And I mean, they even have the same kind of ways that they show that they're really working as they're preaching. It's pathetic. And I think it's important for us to realize that's not the true Christian world. When I go on the internet and I see some things about the church and you know, you see the Pope with the gowns on and the mitre and all this other stuff, and I see it with the Protestants things too. You know, that's not Jesus. That's not who Jesus is, or what his message is, or what the truth of the gospel is all about, is it?
No.
So just realize this. I know you do. Yeah.
This is a Facebook post that I've seen copied, and it describes our generation. We're at a point in Christianity where people don't care if you back it up with the Bible. Their feelings, desires, and emotions override what Scripture says.
Yes.
They don't follow Christ, they follow self.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly true. And it all comes from what we allow to rest in our heads. What's hanging out in our brains. Isn't that right?
Yes.
Now, I want to bring this aspect of truth to you here, because, you know, we can say, well, I know what the truth is. Jesus is my Savior. He died on the cross for my sins. He's coming back again. He was born of a virgin. You know, you can come up with the core of what the gospel message is. But I do want to say that truth goes beyond that basic gospel message.
Let me read you this out of the scripture. So this is John chapter 16, and I'm starting in verse 12. I have many things to say unto you, but you can't bear them now. What Jesus spoke to his disciples, there was other things that he didn't get to them because they couldn't handle it. Huh? There's lots of things about Jesus, about the gospel of the Lord, that we still need to have work deep within our spirits, don't we? We have a little bit of head knowledge about this, and yet there's so much more that God Himself wants to work in us. And it's the truth. It's the truth of who He is and who we are. And what His plan is, plan for you and plan for the church and plan for this whole world and what's out there beyond. Just amazing. And we are so open to the lies. We're so open to that. I want to
show you something.
Would you put up the PowerPoint?
If you can do that.
No, I can't.
John will help you. It's a good thing we have a few people that know what's going on.
Thank you.
All right. Here is some information on climate change. Okay? Now, if you look at that, it looks to me, wow, from 1920 until 2020, look how the level of the sea keeps going up and up and up. Global warming, the seas are rising. There's no hope for us. We're going to drown in 12 years.
Some of you are laughing because you know what I'm talking about. Okay, all right, now. So this is what gets put out. And people see this, and they go, "Wow, that's the truth." They couldn't print that if it wasn't true. All right, now let me show you something about the rest of the graph. Okay, all right, go to the next one, John. But they don't put this one up. This is the rise of sea level. Over from the time of Abraham Lincoln, before global warming, before the factories, right? There's just been a very steady 2.84 millimeters a year. It's been steady from the time that we can go back and actually measure, from Abraham Lincoln up. It's a steady, constant rate. Huh. Oh. So maybe global warming isn't really that catastrophic. Right? Okay. I know I've offended you, Ira. You've heard all you want to hear. No, he has some place to go. Yeah.
I read something a while back about the hurricane problems that we're having,
climate change.
And from 1590 to now, they started studying and recording things about hurricanes in 1590, and there hasn't really been a change in the number or whatever. They said probably before 1590 there was some too that they didn't report.
Right.
So we're into this idea that there's all these hurricanes that have been going on since the beginning of creation.
Yeah. You know, when I was a young man, in the 70s, we were told there's going to be this ice age. And, you know, that line that's running through the data, that's called the trend line. And so that's the trend.
right? All of the projections of what's going to happen, by, you know, 20 years from now, 12 years from now, all of it's based on trends, which means that if it keeps going in that direction, this is what's going to happen, right? All right, now let me show you something else on this, and then I'm going to show you two more about this, because you see, truth can be twisted. Truth can be manipulated. And we have to be aware of that. Aware of it in any area of our lives. Not just spiritual things. But we don't want to be snookered in anything, do we?
No.
Okay. All right, let's go to the next one, John. All right. Post-glacial sea level rise. So this is going back 24,000 years. And then we just go, and look how the sea level's rising. Oh, wow. And then it starts kind of, tapering off. And here when we get up to our present thing, the man-made, quote, man-made sea rise is right there at the end. Seems like the level of the sea's been rising pretty constantly all through tens of thousands of years. If you look at the scientific evidence of it. Okay, let's go to the next one, John. And this might be a little hard to see, but again, here's a trend line. Everybody see that trend line?
Yeah.
These are days over of 90 degrees or more. And people say, well, you know, look at the trend. Our global warming, the trend is just so high. Look, it's going in a bad direction. And this is up to today, and they continued the trend line because they started here. They didn't show what happened before. They showed this. They chose this place as the starting point of the data to go to here. And when they did that, they can make a trend line that goes like that, up, as though warming has been increasing. And this is what politicians are getting from scientists and so on. They don't get the whole picture. All right? All right, go to this next one, John. Oh. So, if we go back far enough, we see that the number of 90 degree days in this particular spot, Waverly, Ohio, is actually, that's the same place that we were looking at before, actually is going down.
Why? How can it go down, but then it's going up?
Because if you look from, where is it, about here maybe, it looks like it is going up. If you start at a certain spot, this is what climate alarmists are doing. They're choosing a very ideal spot to start, and then they can make their graph look the way they want it to. It's not true. It's true for that little piece, but it's not true overall. Now, isn't that something? This is happening all around, and it's important for you and I to know this particular truth as well. You know why? Because if we're inculcated with fear because of this global change, and we vote for people that are going to take care of that, and the economy of our country goes kaput because it's going to cost $52 trillion to hopefully fix something that doesn't need to be fixed, we're going to be snookered as a nation. Now, yeah, you might say, well, that's political. But everything about this life has some kind of impact on us, doesn't it? And we reap. If we're going to be fools and not look into things, then we're going to reap where we've sowed or not sowed. Do you understand that?
Yes.
It isn't that God wants all of this to happen. The things that happen in this world are done by God looking and seeing the choices that people make, and then he does what he wants to do according to how he sees our choices playing themselves out. Yes.
I read a thing in my one of my farm magazines about these people who are anti-milk and anti-dairy products and stuff.
Yeah.
They did a study recently, and in 1845, all the people that drank milk, there was 100% mortality rate. So don't drink. I'm serious.
Yes, I know. This is what they do.
So don't drink milk because it will eventually you'll die. And people believe that because they don't look into the truth of it.
Right.
It's emotional.
It's emotional. It's important for us to realize, too, with truth, that faith and truth are not separated from one another. Faith, people lots of times think that has nothing to do with common sense, when it does. When it does. And if you look through the whole book of Proverbs and many other of the books of the Bible, you find out that we're supposed to use our heads. And it's good to have the right thoughts in our heads, what is really true in our heads, so that we can make proper decisions. It's only when God intervenes and says, No, you don't have to be concerned about that. I'm taking care of that in a very special way. Then you don't have to go to the doctor. But you're not less spiritual if you go to the doctor this is what gets put on by the quote religious world, not Christians, but by the religious world. Oh no, you should have faith for everything. You don't need to go to the doctors. That's showing a lack of faith. No, it's not. Common sense says that if there's something wrong, that you're going to go to a doctor. But if the Lord speaks to you, intervenes and says, you don't need to go, then you don't need to go. How many of you in here, if you were in a car accident and you messed up something internally, how many of you would say, we're not going to operate to take care of this. We'll just, if God wants that person to be alive, then God will just heal them. No, does anybody think like that?
No.
No, not unless God says something very strong. Boy, I'd have to hear it real strong to know something like that, right? Truth has the aspect of common sense that goes with what's going on in years in my life. Right? And we have to understand that. That's very, very important. And it's important for us to, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search out things. So if we're too lazy to search out particular things that are happening in the world and we don't want to be bothered, well then we end up reaping the consequences of not searching things out, so we know. That happens to me all the time with, this is the time of year for Medicare, right? Change policies and stuff. I don't want to be bothered. Well, I'll bet you there's some better programs out there, and I'm paying more than I probably need to. And I keep saying, I'm going to check out such and such. But if I'm lazy, and I don't take the time to search something out, then I'm left with the consequence of me not searching something out. You understand? It isn't that God wants me to have that thing. It's my sluggishness that causes an outcome to happen. We can't just throw everything up and say, well, I guess it's God's will. Well, let's look at the situation. Do we have anything to do with that? Did our lack of engagement, our lack of calling somebody when you felt that you should call someone, what's going on? right? So it's important for us to be people of truth, and that truth is going to be on everything about life.
I hope you get this.
Yes.
So Lord, I just pray today that the truth of your kingdom would reign in us. Lord, that all these very practical things about life would not be seen as carnal, but that when we bring you into the picture, and when it's about finances or different responsibilities, Lord, in life, that it becomes spiritual because you're there and we're leaning on your mind and your will for those particular things. So help us, Lord. Help us to be people of truth. Help us to be people that hang out, that live in your word, so that we can find truth in all aspects of life. And that truth will set us free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.